Well, greetings to all the brethren out there, up Canada Way, Calgary and Edmonton, and anybody else that may be listening. And welcome to our little group here. Good to see you all. Just a couple of announcements. As you know, the Rosses celebrated their 60th anniversary. At least here last Sabbath, and have a card, and I was asked to read it. It says, God has wonderful ways of letting us know he's up to something good in our lives. And so often he does it through wonderful people like you. Thank you so much. That's from Doug and Margie Ross. And they said that, brethren, we appreciated the recognition of our 60th anniversary. Thanks for the great cake and gift. You are our very special family. So that's from Doug and Margie Ross. Now, some of you may already be aware of this, undoubtedly, but I was asked to read this. Carissa Capel was baptized last Thursday evening by Mr. Caleb Froge. So those of you not knowing, we've added another one to the body of Christ. And so we're very happy for her. And I know her parents are quite pleased, of course. So good news there. So what do you think of when someone says false religion? What goes through your mind? Now, my thoughts often jump back to the time when people worshiped literally idols and gods, that is, gods with a little g, you know, such as Dagon and Milcom and a whole host of others. Well, what about today? In your minds anyway, when somebody talks about false religion, who or what do you think of? Do you think about the church down the street? Do you think about the false prophet mentioned in Scripture? Do you think about the great false church mentioned in Scripture there as well? Now, what about in our own lives and memories? In other words, as we were growing up, do we carry around any of those things we were taught in our childhood or things that we were led to believe later, even as adults, that perhaps are still, to some degree or another, in our thoughts now? They're leftover ideas from our past association with false religion. Well, today, I want to take a look at just two aspects of false religion. The whole subject about false religion is rather large, actually. So I just want to look at two aspects of it here in this split sermon so that we as God's people can be reminded that we should avoid these things at all costs, at all costs. Now, for the record, there's God's way, and we're talking about religion, meaning the worship of a higher being. There's God's way revealed in the Bible. That's the only choice you get in terms of true religion. And then there's every other way conceived of by anyone else, angelic or human. But there's God's way that's revealed in the Bible. And God's way is the only true religion. And while all of the other religions, worldly churches, all of that is, without putting any descriptors to it, it's false religion, plain and simple. Now, before getting to these two points or aspects of false religion, let's ask ourselves, what does the Bible say about the results of false religion? In other words, I'm talking about false religion, but why? So what are the outcomes of subscribing to or being involved with false religion. What are the results of doing this? Let's turn over to Jeremiah to begin. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. Now, I'll show this more later on, but keep in mind when you say the word prophet, you're not only talking about that guy that people referred to, you know, a few thousand years ago, but we're talking about teachers, preachers as well in this identification of prophets here. So, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. In other words, he's talking about false prophets, not those that he sent. They make you worthless. That means, the term worthless means spiritually void. They make you, by you listening to them and believing what they're telling you, spiritually void. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. And then in verse 22, but if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them, talking about his people, from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. So false religion from false teachers causes us to become, as it says here, worthless, spiritually void, on a spiritual level, worthless. And it also causes us then to follow those evil ways. And as Paul said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So a little bit of that, it just grows. It grows in your imagination, it grows in your mind, it grows in our hearts, and it leavens the whole lump. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50, we're talking about the results of false religion before we get into those two aspects that I wanted to talk about. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 6. My people have been lost sheep. They're shepherds, they're preachers, they're teachers, their prophets have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They've turned them aside from the green pastures that I placed them in. And now they've run off into the Rockies, the rocky ground, the rough stuff, to the mountains. They've gone from mountain to hill. They've gone from here, there, and the other place, always looking for the next, as a famous singer once said, always looking for the next big thing. They have forgotten their resting place. They have forgotten where they started from. They have forgotten that I called them and chose them and taught them. That was their resting place. So false teachers teaching false religion leads us astray and we lose our way spiritually. We can't find where we were. We've lost track. Now these are some of the results of false religion. So obviously, as God's people, we should sincerely want to avoid at any cost false religion and to have no part in it. That is some of the things that God, of course, tells us. Because the pages of scriptures, as you read through the Bible, you know that this is true, that scripture rings with God's condemnation of false religion, false teachers. Now, despite this, I've observed down through the years that a few, and I'm not talking about many, but a few in God's church have some, or had maybe at that time, some worldly notions when it came to some spiritual matters. It just happens. If you're talking with people, once in a while, things will pop out and you'll go, I wonder where that came from. Where did they get that? Now, we all have vestiges of past ways that we're trying to get rid of, don't we? However, a few have false concepts, concepts of false religion that perhaps even they don't recognize as such, and still retain them in their thinking because they just don't realize that's what they are. So the first aspect of false religion I want to talk about is this. Number one, do false teachers and false religions have the truth or part of the truth? Do false teachers and false religions have the truth or part of it? Have you ever heard it said by someone in the church? Again, I have. But have you ever heard anyone say that this or that worldly church, you fill in the blank or the name, has some of the truth? Is that a true statement? Let's turn over to John chapter 4. And this is one of those aspects of false religion that is important to understand. It truly is. John chapter 4 and verse 24. John chapter 4 and verse 24. John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we're told in Scripture, other scriptures, that God only gives his spirit to those whom he calls. I think Mr. Mellerup talked about that during his split. And also that obey him. So he just doesn't willy-nilly hand out his Holy Spirit. And we can only understand the truth if we have God's Spirit. Or if it is working with us, you know, we're working toward baptism, that type of thing. But he doesn't give his Spirit to the world at this time. Now, that's for later on. Be doing more of that, as we're told, or to worldly religions. Therefore, false religions simply cannot properly worship God, nor do they have his truth. So, why do I say that? Well, 2 Peter chapter 2, I mean, John 4:24 says that actually, because when it says God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth, we cannot properly worship God without his Holy Spirit. Without him living within us, we don't know how to worship the true God. And we certainly don't know what the truth is because we cannot understand the truth without his Holy Spirit. So 2 Peter chapter 2, begin in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, begin in verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways, like the leaven and the lump. It spreads, and eventually many. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. You blaspheme the way of truth when you don't understand what the truth is. It's just another thing out there to denigrate, to put down, to attack. You don't understand what it is. How could you? Now, because truth isn't simply a, and I call these things factoid, I actually think that's a word, you want to look it up. Because truth simply isn't a factoid in the scriptures. That anyone who is able to pick up the Bible and can read can lay claim to, and thus in their minds, have the truth. Let's say, well, we'll talk about that in just a sec. The way of truth is the way of life. The truth isn't the truth unless you're living it, because that's what God intends for it to be used in that way. That is, living it according to God's law, which requires His Spirit within us, and that's the only way someone has the truth. The only way. That is, that they must understand the truth and live it correctly. So does Satan have the truth? Or does he have a part of the truth? I mean, after all, he was there at God's throne, wasn't he? As Lucifer, he knew God's, all of everything that he revealed anyway. But does he have the truth? Or just a part of it even? How about John chapter 8? Let's turn there. John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. Excuse me. The devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Pardon me. And does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the scriptures here are very plain that Satan does not have the truth. So you see, all I'm saying there is what I said earlier. The truth isn't just knowing some of the things in the scriptures. It's living that way of life. It's understanding how those things relate, how all the dots connect. That is truth. That is God's way. That is His life that He expects us to live as He lives. Satan, you think he doesn't know scripture? Didn't he quote a lot of scripture to Jesus Christ in those temptations? And even to Adam and Eve, didn't he kind of sort of skew scripture a little bit and quote it a little bit there? Sure, he knows those things, but does he have the truth or even a part of it? No. Like it says here, God inspired these words, because there is no truth in him. In other words, he's rejected me, he's rejected my way of life. No truth exists in him. So there's no truth in Satan, yet Satan and his demons believe the truth. Have you ever known anybody that said they believe this, that, and the other about what's written in the scriptures? Let's turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 19. James chapter 2 and verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Because they've rejected God, they've rejected His way of life, they do not live according to God's law, so they tremble because of that. But they believe the truth. Interesting. I'm sure we've all known people that believe what they see, at least some of the things in the Bible, but they don't do them. So they don't have the truth in that scenario. Not a part of it, even. So really, don't for a minute believe that recognizing a fact from Scripture by a false teacher or a false church causes them to have the truth. For the demons believe the truth, but they simply cannot live it as a way of life. They rejected it. They cannot change. They don't have the truth. They believe, as do the worldly churches, certain factual truths presented in scriptures, but they cannot and do not live it as a way of life. And that's not a slam on those that are in worldly churches per se, because they don't know that they can't. They don't know that they lack that special ingredient that allows them to understand and allows them to obey God's Holy Spirit. They don't know that. Truth must be lived, or it's simply an empty belief, spiritually void, worthless. False teachers teaching what they're teaching, worthless. So it doesn't matter if someone from, say, a worldly church, from false religion, says they believe in, say, baptism. It's an empty belief because they're unable to spiritually discern the application of baptism, the reasons for it, and apply that understanding to living their lives in accordance with God's law, pleasing in His sight. To illustrate what I'm talking about, at least to some degree, I have a short note here that was written years ago to the church from someone participating in false religion, yet being able to recognize some points in the truth or in the scriptures. You know, like writing into the editor. Quote, "I just finished reading Is the Bible True? And it was very good, especially page 21 and the comments following Aldous Huxley's statement. That was one of the best explanations about why people deny God and the Bible that I have ever read. I'm a retired American living in the UK, and I'm working with a group of, I'll just say Protestants." He names the particular denomination. "With a Protestant church in the hope of expanding their congregations." So, he's written into the church. He's read church literature. He agrees and believes with those things that he read. And he immediately turns that, "I'm trying to help this Protestant church," and goes on. "In the hope of expanding their congregations. It will not be easy. The church is dying here, and it's a shame because it used to be a very strong Christian society." So you can see he can recognize things that come across through scriptures as aha, but he can't recognize that nobody over here has the aha. But yet he wants to apply it to false religion to help false religion grow and become a, he calls it, Christian society that it once was. Well, it was never Christian to begin with. Now, again, I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying this is how the mind works that is not open to God's calling. That's how the mind works that's not, does not avail itself or does not have God's Holy Spirit. There is no understanding. There is no truth. There's no part of truth in any of that. So the lesson in this first point or aspect of false religion about the truth is, don't think those in false religions have some of the truth, because they may recognize, even believe, a spiritual fact given in scriptures. So we must recognize false religion. Know it when we see it. Make no excuses for it, without any reservations, and have nothing to do with it. Or, as I've seen some try to do, be broad-minded about others in false religions believing some point in Scripture, trying to put a okay spin on it. Well, you know, that they're doing what they can. Well, we're not talking about what they can. We're talking about religion. We're talking about true religion or false religion. You can't have it both ways, just like Mr. Miller was saying. You can't worship God and mammon. You have to be able to worship God as the truth through His Spirit. And if you're not doing that, then you're subscribing to false religion if that's where you want to go, if that's what you interests you. So the second aspect I have here regarding false religion that we need to really be aware of and to stay away from is that what and that is that we must be extremely careful not to adopt any of the ways of false teachers or false religions in our lives, in our way of thinking. False religions are ultimately led by Satan. Does that shock anybody for me to say that? Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Well, some might say, well, you're talking about the false prophet. What's that have to do with all these other people? Well, if the great false prophet's activities will be through the workings and leading of Satan, then so will the lesser false prophets and religious leaders as well. First Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So you see, false religions from top to bottom are led by and influenced by Satan. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some folks in these worldly churches that, you know, believe what they believe and they try to live a good life. I'm not talking about their aspirations as human beings. I'm just talking about those organizations, those false teachers, those false churches that they're actually inspired and led directly by Satan. And it's not that he comes up with some satanic things that he wants them to do necessarily. He just leaves it wide open for anybody to do anything they want to do. Look at all the churches around the world. Look at all the religions in the world. All of them doing every imaginable thing, and half of it you probably even haven't read about or heard about. And most of them are in direct conflict with one another in what they say is acceptable and right and good. So that's the way Satan does things. He doesn't have to have them sacrificing goats on some altar somewhere. Now, if they want to do it, fine. He's okay with that. But as long as he's leading them astray, As long as he's influencing false teachers to teach error, to teach untruths, because they don't understand what they're teaching, so he can just lead them anywhere he wants. And that's what he does. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we know that Satan deceives the world. He deceives the institutions in the world, the churches in the world, the religious teachers in the world. That's what he does. He doesn't leave any stone unturned. Him and his minions, that's what they do. And they do it diligently, and they do it well. They confuse everything and everyone on this globe. And he does it in a big way, this overall deception, which, you know, he deceives through many ways. But a very big one is false religion. Think about the religions in the world. How many wars have been fought over religion since the Garden of Eden? Well, we can't even number how many, because a lot of that's been lost way back in history. But wars, as far as a leading cause, religion is right up there. Right up there with just plain old power grab and greed. But the nice thing to the folks that are doing it, religion kind of gives it a nice glow, kind of a nice sheen to it. You know, it's good. But we're going to kill them all unless they agree with us. Common theme. So adopting precepts or ideas, I'm talking about us as members of the Church of God, adopting precepts or ideas from false religion brings with it not only error, but different spirits. Not to go woo-woo necessarily, but it brings a different spirit with it. It's part of the baggage. So we must remember that having anything to do with false religion has a spiritual side that's to be avoided at all costs, because it is not from God. It is from Satan, but it is not from God. Well, for some strange reason, I'm running a little short. I'm sure you're all upset by that. So I'll wrap this up right now. By not attributing truth to false religions, worldly churches, and by not being enticed to think that false religions and worldly churches have things we need in our minds or in the Church of God, in our thinking, we can avoid the primary weapon that Satan uses, and that is religious deception. For the entire world will be deceived, as it says here, by a great false spirit, by Satan himself. And only God's people that are living the way of truth will escape that deception. So that's the good side of it. That's the good thing.